G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Praise God. Well, if you have a Bible, have a look at Proverbs chapter 18. Yep, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. Hallelujah. All right. Give me an oi when you're there. Proverbs 18 verse 21. Hallelujah. So it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The Message translation says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit, you choose. It's so important. Hey, we've been talking the last couple of weeks, and this is my third and final part. In it, we've been talking about the power of the tongue. And I love the way the Message translation says that. Words kill or words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. We can choose what our destiny is going to be. We can choose how things are going to turn out in our life. We're not just a victim of circumstance. If you want to be, you can be a victim of circumstance, but that means you're out of control. But you can make choices. God's given us the power and the authority. And this scripture says death and life are in the power of the tongue. It doesn't say death and life is in the power of your circumstances. It doesn't say death and life is in the power of the government. It doesn't say death and life is in the power of the king. It says death and life are in the power of your tongue. And I want to just recap a couple of things that we've been talking about, or some of the major things, and then sort of keep going from there. We talked in the first part about how this world was made by God to respond to faith-filled words. Not just any words, right? It's not, this world is, you know, just because you just say a word like donut, what's that going to do? Although if you meditate on donut, you could get hungry, yeah. But it's faith-filled words. God created this world to respond to faith-filled words. And he shows that, like in Genesis, how he created everything. He just spoke. Then Jesus demonstrated how to control the circumstances around him by speaking. And so we looked at that. We looked at how there's power in your words to alter the course of your life. If there are things in your life that you are not satisfied about, if there's things in your life that you've identified are not the will of God, you can begin to speak the desired result. To see that thing turn around. This is not my opinion. This is what God's word says. But I know it's true because I know I've practiced it in my life. And so it's really important. There is power in your own words to alter the course of your life. Hey, a big thing that we did look at, particularly last week and also in the first part, was confidence. It's something that God really witnessed to me. It's not the only reason, but a lack of confidence often causes delays in manifestation. People are believing God for certain things, but they lack confidence in seeing that thing happen. You know, like if you're kind of praying, but you're at the same time as you're praying, you're kind of wishing it'll happen, well, that means you're lacking confidence. And I've seen, certainly in my own life, I've seen the greater my confidence, the greater the ability of that manifestation to come through. There are some things that are just going to take time, right? For example, financial abundance and prosperity. I am far, far, far in a greater place than I've ever been in my life. But it wasn't a get-rich-quick scheme. Hey, but it takes time. And you just do the steps. And as you do the steps, you see God come through, and then you get confidence, and then you move another step. And you see that come through and you get greater confidence. There's a confidence that builds, and then with that, the manifestation flows in a greater and greater way. Hey, but some things don't happen instantly. With regard to healing, it is God's will for people to be healed instantly. Hey, actually, it's the perfect will of God for you not even to get a symptom. But if you take some time to manifest a healing, there's nothing wrong with that. I'll take a healing any day, whether it happens quick or whether it happens slow. And sometimes, though, sometimes God will take you on a journey because he doesn't want to just heal you. He wants to show you, in many cases, he wants to show you what opened the gate to bring that thing in your life so you can shut the gate. I mean, what's the point? Like, for example, a lot of times sickness can be a manifestation of a deeper root, right? If you're driving in your car and your oil light goes on, the answer is not get some tape and cover the oil light so you can't see it. Or take out the bulb so the oil light won't go on anymore. That's not the answer, because that's just a symptom of a deeper cause. Something's wrong. That light flashing is not the problem. That's telling you there's a deeper problem. And so sometimes sickness can be the manifestation of something deeper that's going on. And so sometimes God will take you on a journey because he wants to show you what opened the gate, what opened the way for you to get into that position so you can shut the gate, you can kill the snake, keep him out, and then you can be healed. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
So anyway, and this whole area of confidence is so important. And we looked at causes of a lack of confidence, how guilt and condemnation is a cause, shame is a cause. Trouble trusting God because of prayer failures is a cause, or trouble trusting God because your word is no good. And so they're on the website. You can download it and have a listen to it. If any of those things are sort of like, pricking your conscience or getting your attention, then feel free to have a listen to that. Hey, have a look at Hebrews chapter 10. I want to show you something. Your confidence will increase as you just stay with God. Hey, you stay with God. Just stay with what he's promised you. His promise could be to do with your family. It could be to do with your health. It could be to do with your finances. Just stay with it. It doesn't matter how ridiculous the situation looks. Just stay with him. Your confidence will grow. Hebrews 10 verse 35. Give me an oi when you're there. So it says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So don't cast away your confidence. That word confidence, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. It's the Greek word parasia, and it literally means a boldness of speech. This scripture is saying, don't cast away your boldness of speech. Why? Why should you not cast it away? Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Don't stop saying things in line with God. You know, the hardest thing to do is to speak the promise over your life when your circumstances don't match up with what you're saying. But if you just keep succumbing to your feelings, you'll just stay a meathead. At some point, you've got to say, no, I don't live by what I feel, and I don't care what I see. I can choose what to say and change my circumstance. And then you're releasing life as you do that. This scripture says, don't cast away your boldness of speech. It has great reward. You have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Hey, that word endurance, some people think endure means you've got to just kind of fasten your seatbelt and hope that you make it. I'm smiling because I'm reminded, like, when Joy and I first moved up to Queensland, I got a job as a bus driver, and some of those buses were awesome. This one particular model was a German model. It was a MAN. That's I don't know what the initials stood for, but it was a MAN, and so they were amazing vehicles. Like you could be going 60 or 80 kilometers an hour and go around a corner, and it would barely even lean. It would be awesome. Yeah, whereas normally if you're going in a bus and you go a little too fast, you just start to lean. You feel like you're going to tip. These things were just so stable. And it had power steering, so one hand, I'm just going like that. People are holding on for their life, going around corners and stuff. And I remember, and the reason I'm smiling is because this one day, I had this route in Aspley, and it was all through the back suburbs of, sorry, Stafford, all through the back suburbs of Stafford. And when I got to Chermside, and all the passengers got off, and there was this little old lady, and everybody had got off except for her, but she was like, they had these kind of like racing style seats, you know, like whether it's high, you could lean your head on it. And she was tucked in like in the crash position, and her hands were gripping the seat in front, and it was like bare white knuckles. And she didn't move because she didn't know if we were going to get going again. And then sort of God convicted me of that, and I thought, all right, I need to ease off a little bit and stuff. So why am I sharing that? Some people think endurance means what this lady was doing. Just hang on and hope that you make it. This scripture says, don't cast away your confidence. It has great reward. You have need of endurance. That word endurance doesn't mean just hang on for all that you've got. You may just make it. It literally means actively and energetically resist defeat. You need to actively and energetically resist defeat. Don't cast away your boldness of speech. It has great reward, for you need to actively and energetically resist defeat. And then, after you've done the will of God, you'll receive the promise. And so your confidence will increase as you stay with God and what He's promised you. Hey, have a look at Acts chapter 4. I want to just show you one more thing before we move on. Acts 4 verse 13. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Give me an oi when you're there. It says, this is Peter and John had just, I'll give you a little background before we just read the verse. They had, in chapter 3, they'd been going to the temple to pray and to worship God. They saw a man who was lame from his mother's womb at the gate. Peter looked at him, and this man was begging, and Peter said, look at us. And anyway, the man thought he was going to get an offering. He didn't get an offering, but Peter commanded him to rise up and walk, and grabbed him and pulled him up. And the moment he pulled him up, it was a miracle, because this man had never ever walked. Now you think about it. If a person has not used, like somebody who say has been in an accident, a car accident, and they have been immobile for a number of months, it takes time to regain strength because your muscles have not been exercised. This man had never walked. His muscles must have been minuscule in his legs. This was a miracle, because not only did he get healed of whatever it was that was causing him to not be able to walk, but instantly his muscles must have expanded to the place where he could walk and leap and praise God. And anyway, then, you know, it attracted a crowd because people recognized who this man was. Peter preached the sermon of his life. 5,000 people came to Christ. What an awesome day that was, eh? Well, the authorities of the temple heard about it, so they arrested Peter and John, locked them up, and then began to interrogate them and say, tell us what's going on. And Peter and John were just filled with this boldness and began to minister to them and saying things like, there's no other name under heaven by which man could be saved except the name of Jesus. They're just like not holding back. And the authorities are thinking like, dude, we could have you killed. Dare you speak to us like this? And I want you to see what verse 13 says. Are you there? Acts 4 verse 13. It says, now when they saw the boldness... Everyone say boldness. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Now that word boldness is the same word, parousia, confidence, boldness of speech. Don't cast away your boldness of speech. And here it's saying, when the authorities saw the boldness, the way that Peter and John were speaking, and they realized these guys are uneducated. They haven't got the doctorates in law and theology that we have, and yet they're preaching the word. And they have insight into that that we don't even have. And they marveled. But I want you to notice what they concluded there in verse 13. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Confidence comes from being with Jesus. Your confidence will grow as you hang out with Jesus. Something happened. These men who are untrained, uneducated men were willing to look these authorities in the eye without any fear of death or worry about what's going to happen to them and just tell them exactly what they needed to hear. And these men were taken aback and they're thinking, they've been with Jesus. You know, when you spend time with Jesus, confidence grows. Confidence in his promise for you will grow as you spend time with Jesus. So when you get that promise of God, spend time with the Lord. Look at that promise and say, Lord, show me more. What does this mean? What is it you want me to do? Spend time, because as you spend time with it, others will see it too. And then soon they'll be saying the same as what they said about Peter and John. He's been hanging out with Jesus. Something so different about him. You know, power is released the moment you begin to speak, hey? Especially when you begin to speak by faith, hey? You only need, and I'm just recapping some things that I've talked about last week. You only need mustard seed size faith, Jesus said. And he was answering their question because the disciples said, increase our faith. Show us how we can get more. And he said, guys, you only need this much. If you had this much, you could say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea. And what was he trying to say? He was saying, the moment you speak by faith, power is released. Things are set in motion. And the enemy doesn't want you to realize that. He wants you to look at your circumstance and your situation and think, it's hopeless. Nothing's happening. Nothing's working. You don't understand. But the moment you speak, power is released. Angels are dispatched. God's word is coming to pass in your life. Whether that's in your body, in your finances, in your family, things are happening. Just don't cast away your confidence. Just stay on it. Because your faith is like a servant. We talked about that last week as well. Your faith is like a servant. It's working out in the field. Just let your faith keep working. Let your faith keep working. And the more you just keep your faith out there, instead of calling your servant back in, how do you call your servant back in? By starting to disagree with what God has said. By starting to say things like, oh, what's the point? Nothing's happening. Nothing's working. This is just going to, I told you it would happen like this, didn't I tell you? And it's going to get worse. You watch. I laugh because like I could see myself being like that once, say, and it's so foreign to me now. So foreign to me. Amen. So let's go further on that. Have a look at Mark chapter 5. I want to show you some things that God has put in my heart. Mark 5, verse 25. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, this is a very, very famous story. And, you know, I want to give you a little tip. Some of you have heard me share this before, but it's worth repeating. When you read something that you've read before, you need to be doubly attentive. Because it's very easy for your flesh to say, oh, yeah, you know that. And the moment you start saying that, you are cutting God off from giving you fresh revelation. He could use one scripture and for all eternity show you new things from that one scripture. Hey, just keep showing you new things and new things, new revelation every day. And you'd never ever wring it dry. And so when you're reading something that you're tempted to think, oh yeah, I've read this, that's not a reason for you to park in neutral or put it in park and not move. Get doubly attentive. Say, God, I want to receive something fresh from you. Mark 5 verse 25 says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." So I want to bring some things to your attention from this story, hey, of things that this woman did to receive her answer to prayer, hey. I want you to notice in verse 27, it says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd. So the first thing I want to point out to you is she heard. She heard. She heard about Jesus, hey. I wonder, what do you suppose she heard? I wonder what she heard about Jesus, hey. Oh man, there's some Fruit Loop, hey, preaching stuff out in the mountains. I wonder, is that what she heard? Is that what got her attention? I'm sure there was probably some people thinking like that. Or I wonder if she heard, man, have you heard what happened to our neighbor? Or did you hear about so-and-so? What happened to them? How they got healed? I had somebody got raised from the dead. Oh, and so-and-so up the street. Remember that blind guy? He's seeing now. I wonder if that's what she heard. I reckon that's probably what she heard. She was probably hearing stories of maybe a cousin in a remote village who went to a meeting and someone that she knew, but she's hearing stories that this cousin is now healed of something that was incurable, something that couldn't be fixed. She heard about Jesus, hey? And what she heard did something to her. And the first thing it did is ignited hope. We live in a world that's just lost hope, hey? We live in a world that's just run out of answers. Nothing is working because the world is trying to do it without God. That's what humanism is. It's trying to find answers without God, and there are no answers without God. That's why I wasn't planning to say this, but I'm going to say this, and I don't apologize for it. Psychiatrists are among the most dangerous people because they are trained as if there is no God. They don't believe in the spiritual aspect of man. How can you solve a spiritual problem if you don't believe there is a spirit? And they're trying to find natural or emotional answers. The answer to a person's need is not always natural or emotional. That's why they say things like, well, you know, if that's the way you feel, you should just do what you feel. You know, if you identify yourself as a woman, well, if that's how you feel, doesn't matter if you're 130 kilos of rippling muscle, that's all right. There's a guy, he's joining the women's footy league. He was a male football player, professional footy player. I can't remember. He's changed his name. I can't remember what he's changed it to. What's that? Did he? Yeah. Yeah. He'll do well. Somebody actually sent him a message saying, "I can't wait to see what 90 kilos of muscle will do as it bursts through 45 kilo packs." But see, that's how twisted it is. Just because you feel something doesn't make it right. In fact, the majority of times your feelings are wrong. If you keep giving into your feelings and teaching your children to give into their feelings and just nurturing them and how they feel, you're actually setting them up for failure. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. This lady heard about Jesus and hope ignited. Hey, a hope that wasn't there in the world. She'd been to the doctors and there was nothing they could do. She'd spent everything she had. She'd run out of money. She must have been a wealthy person at one stage. And there was no answers they had. They took her money but gave her no solutions. And in fact, the Bible actually says she was worse. But here's the good news. When you hear about Jesus, hope ignites. She heard stuff. She must have heard stories. Maybe of people that she knew, a second cousin or a neighbor or someone that used to live in town but had moved and heard about what had happened to them. Something. She must have heard some story and hope ignited, and she's thinking like, wow, could it be possible? Could something happen for me? Well, surely, I mean, if I'm hearing that he opened blind eyes, if I'm hearing that my cousin Joe, who couldn't walk properly, and I've known him since I was a little baby, and if Joe can walk, surely something can happen to me. And with that hope, as hope ignites, then faith begins to arise. Hey. And faith began to arise, hey. But it started with her hearing. She heard. The scripture says, when she heard about Jesus. You know, if you want hope to arise, if you want faith, I should say, if you want hope to be ignited and you want faith to arise, you need to start hearing about Jesus and what he's capable of doing in your life. You need to start filling your mind and your imagination with what Jesus wants to do in your life. Instead of filling your mind and your imagination with what the doctors have said or what the economists have said or what the experts, the bush lawyers at your work are saying, fill your mind and your heart with Jesus, with the Word of God, so you can hear, just like this woman heard, and then hope ignites and faith arises. Hey, living in the world will drain you of hope. And it will stunt your faith, hey, if you don't guard against these things. I see lots of Christians, they connect with God and their whole life is turned around and they're so excited. And then they just go to work and come home, go to work, come home, go to work, come home. They're not reading their Bibles. They're not talking with the Lord. They're not fellowshipping with other Christians. They're not getting to church. What happens? Soon that faith gets stunted. Soon it's like everything around you is so big and God is just so small. You need to keep hearing the word, because as you hear about Jesus, hope ignites and faith arises. And that's what happened with this woman. She heard. Hey, how do you stop your hope and your faith from being stifled out? Put the word of God in front of your eyes. Put it into your ears. Speak it out of your mouth. Hey. And allow that hope to arise, hey. And don't just say things just by rote. Don't just speak it out like, yeah, thank you, Lord, you heal all my diseases, yippee. You heal all my diseases, all my diseases, all my diseases. All my diseases, he heals all my diseases. Have a bit of energy and a bit of enthusiasm, hey. You know, sometimes you can actually go quicker by going slower. Sometimes instead of just going, because I remember, you know, like back in 2009 when Joy was dreadfully ill and I was confessing the word, I turned into like a machine gun. I was just speaking the word, just rattling it off. God, you're our healer. You heal all our diseases. By your wounds, we were healed. By your wounds, we were healed. And then she would get sicker, you know, like a few weeks later. And I'd double my time doing that. And I'd try to say it quicker. And then soon I felt like, man, I'm saying this for so many hours a day and I'm saying it as quick as I can. I don't know if I can do any more. And I said, God, I don't know what else to do. And he said, well, why don't you just slow down? Sometimes you can go quicker by going slower. And so I started slowing it down. And I said, Lord, I just thank you. You are our healer. And you heal all our diseases. Every single disease. We don't have to have a single disease. You know what happened? Hope ignited. Because I was starting to go into my imagination. And then as hope began to ignite, faith began to arise. This woman heard. That's the first thing that happened. But she didn't just hear, did she? She heard and she said. In verse 27, it says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. She heard and then she said. You know, you can tell what someone believes just by listening to what comes out of their mouth. You don't have to spend a long time with people. Just be a good listener and just listen to what comes out their mouth. How are you going? Not good. Just the tone itself. I don't ask people, I'm reluctant about asking people about how they're going, because usually that's how a lot of people say, particularly people in the world. And sad to say, there's a lot of Christians that do that as well. There's no reason why you can't say you're exceedingly well and joyful. Hands up if you're born again. If you're born again, your spirit has never ever been depressed since the day you became a child of God. Your spirit has never ever been defeated. Your spirit has never ever been frustrated since the day that you were born again. And if you experience frustration or depression, if you experience those things since you've become born again, all it shows is that you're not walking in the Spirit. Because if you get into the Spirit, you will experience what your spirit is experiencing, and that is filled with joy and hope and faith, and all things are possible and nothing will be denied you. But you get in the flesh, you get out of the Spirit, that's when you get the same results as the world. That's when you will get the discouragement, the depression. That's when you'll get the despondency. That's when everything just looks too big. And that's when people can come up to you and go, how are you? And you go, not good. And I'm not trying to make fun of you. Hey, I've been in that situation myself. But I found a better way. Hey, a far, far better way. I would much prefer to walk in the Spirit. I don't have ups and downs. Very, very rare for me to have ups and downs. I just keep going up, up and up and up and up. And it's just so easy. I want you to just close your eyes for a minute. I want you to picture yourself standing out of the front of your house. Now I want you to picture yourself walking to the front door, opening that front door, walking into your lounge, and sitting down on the most comfortable seat in your lounge. I just want you to imagine what that feels like. What would it feel like if you were sitting in the most comfortable seat in your lounge? All right, open your eyes. Hands up if you did that. All right, so tell me, what did you imagine? Well, how did it feel like? Give me some answers. Okay, so how did it feel? Felt good. Anything else? Felt better than these chairs. Yep. Felt amazing. Any other answers, Janice? Really comfortable? Secure? All right. How long? Yep. Relaxed. How long? Was that a hard thing for you to do? It wasn't. You know why? Because you've been there. You've been to your house. You've been to that lounge. And you've sat in that chair. Now you're thinking, what's that got to do with anything? When you've been in the Spirit and you've been in the presence of God, that's how long it takes to get back in there. Just with your imagination. Once you've been in the presence of God and you know what that feels like, you can close your eyes and in your imagination, you can go there any time. And it doesn't matter what's happening around you. Everybody else could be screaming, we're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die. And in your imagination, you can go in the Spirit, into the presence of God, where He is smiling, He is not worried, where your spirit is filled with joy and overflowing with confidence, and you can look at Him and you can say, it's done, isn't it? And He's looking at you and He's going, it's done. And that's how long it takes. That's why it's very rare for me to have ups and downs. Because the moment I get tempted to start to go down, I just get into the Spirit. And just as long as it took you to walk into your lounge and sit on the most comfortable lounge, in a moment, I just get surrounded by the presence of God. Oh, God, thank you. You're here right now. You are the life that truly satisfies. And you live in me. I'm not alone. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
So she heard And she said, hey, and you can tell what people believe by just listening to what comes out of their mouth. Hey, she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. You know, your mouth will say whatever's abundantly stored in your heart. That's what Jesus said. Hey, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Hey, whatever you think about a lot, you're going to find it's going to come out your mouth. So if you're saying things like, nothing works for me, I can never get ahead, I always feel sick as a dog, eh? Why won't this pain leave me? I don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. This is not going to work. If you're saying those things, it's only because those things are festering in your heart and your heart is filled, because the mouth speaks whatever's abundant in the heart. And you'll find if you fill your heart with the promise of God, you fill your heart with those things, it'll just start to spill out. And it's just so easy for it to spill out. It's not hard for me to get out of a discouraging situation. Not hard at all, because I've taught my flesh. And so the vast majority of times, people will ask me, how are you? Oh, mate, I'm way above average. It just, because that's abundantly in my heart. I'm looking to stay there. My average keeps rising, and I keep rising. Hey, and my confidence grows. This woman, what was abundant in her heart, she had heard about Jesus, and hope had ignited, and faith arose, and she began to think about these things, and then soon her heart was filled with this faith, and that's why she said, if only I may touch his clothes. Notice what she didn't say. She didn't say something like, I wonder what would happen if I touched his clothes. I reckon there were people there that were thinking like that, because there were crowds thronging him. Because he was saying, who touched me? And the disciples said, everyone's touching you. Why were they touching him? Because they probably heard stuff too. Like, man, this guy can heal diseases and sicknesses, and people have all sorts of experiences. And so there's probably people going like, no gold dust. Probably others are going, gold dust, look at that. Gold. I'm not making fun of gold. I just think, look, I mean, if some people will have experiences where there's gold dust. That's wonderful, hey. But I get a little bit irritated when people camp there. Yes. All right. That's just a signpost pointing to Jesus. Some people camp on like, oh, God, give us more dust. You know, I'm waiting for the nuggets. Let the dust. Once you start getting nuggets, come and testify. Show me. Not for me to believe. I'm happy. If you get gold dust, that's wonderful, hey. And I'm not going to stop God if that's what he wants to do. But we're not going to camp there. We're going to keep moving, hey. This woman didn't say, I wonder what will happen if I touched his clothes. She wasn't thinking or saying like, oh, I'm going to go try to touch his clothes, but what if nothing happens? What if I go all the way there and nothing happens? She wasn't thinking that. She wasn't saying things like, well, it's no use. What's the point? I'm not even allowed to go out in public. Besides, there's going to be so many people there. I'll never even get near him. He's probably got minders and bodyguards, and they're not going to let me through. She wasn't saying that, was she? She said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. The New Living Translation says, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. You see, there was no doubt there. She heard and she said. And she said, and in doing so, she was releasing life, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Hallelujah. Now, the third point I want to bring to you is she did. She heard, she said, she did. It says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said. So notice, it says, for she said. In other words, because she said. So in other words, what she did was because of what she said. She said, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be made well. That's why she went to go touch his garment, because of what she said. She heard, she said, and she did. What did she do? She came behind him. She touched his garment. She acted on what she believed. She believed, man, he's got the power to heal me. If I can just, I don't even need to ask him. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I don't need to bother him. I don't need to interrupt his schedule. He doesn't even need to talk to me. I can just do commando style and sneak up and just touch and get away and no one needs to know. And she believed that and she acted because of what she believed. Hey. Hallelujah. You got to act on what you believe. It's so important. There's lots of people that say things like, I'm believing God, but there's no action. If you believe God wants you to prosper, then you need to be a giver. That's just level. You're not going to get off it. I mean, even what Tim was saying today from Proverbs 11. There's one who scatters and yet increases more. There's one who holds back what they know they should give and it results in lack. The generous soul will prosper. And he who waters will himself be watered. You've got to act on what you believe. If you believe you're healed, then you need to look for ways to act on it. Now, I'm not going to give you all the answers in this, number one, because I don't know all the answers. This is just a principle. And let the Lord lead you on this. This is so important. And he will lead you. He will show you. You don't do something because you heard so-and-so do it or because Pastor Les said something. You take this before God. See the principle, pray about it, and let him lead you. He will show you the custom fit on how this works out in your life. But this principle of acting on what you believe is an immovable principle. At some point, if you believe something, you need to act like it's true. You go shopping, and if you're going to pay everything on your card, you go shopping because you believe there's money in your account to pay for it. If you didn't believe that, you wouldn't go shopping. I mean, that's a basic, isn't it? You just expect. If you don't know how much is in your account, you probably won't go shopping, or you'd be foolish going shopping. But when you know how much is in your account, you know what belongs to you, you go, and when you give your card, you expect that transaction to be completed. But the point that I'm making is the act of shopping is because you believe the funds are in your account and that card will pay for it. When you believe God's promise in your life, there are ways that you always look for ways of acting. Acting on what you believe. This is so important. And God will lead you. And you won't just stay in one spot. He'll say, okay, now do this, and you'll do it. And then he said, now do this, and you'll do it. And continue to act. And keep talking to him. Keep allowing him to lead you. In James 2 verse 17, you don't need to turn there, I'll just read it out. James 2 verse 17 says, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. I love the Message translation of the same verse. It says, isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? See, if you're just saying, but you're not acting, that's God talk without God acts. There needs to be faith, there needs to be a believing, but then there needs to be an action that reflects what you believe. If you say you're healed, but you always make room for sickness, there's a problem. Hey. I can't go out on windy days because it just flares up my asthma. Your asthma? I can't do any physical work because it's going to hurt my back. I can't eat that food, otherwise I'll get a rash. Now, these are examples, and I'm not saying, if any of those apply to you, I'm not saying do the opposite of those things. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, and he will lead you, and he will show you. And you may not be at a place where you could, maybe you're in a situation where maybe there's a certain food and you have a reaction to it. You may not be in a place where you feel confident to eat that food. Well, then don't eat the food because you're not in faith. But at some point, as you allow your faith to rise, you're going to hear the Holy Spirit say, now I want you to act and do this. Let him lead you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't do these things because you heard Pastor Les say these things. Do these things because the Spirit of God is leading you and he will lead you. But understand this, there will be actions to your faith. Otherwise, your faith is dead. The woman heard. The woman said. The woman did. And then when she heard, when she said, and when she did, she received. Yes. Hey. Immediately, the scripture says, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Everybody is fixated on the receiving. God, please, please, I don't need that money like 24 hours ago. Please, God, please, God. God, you got to heal me. I don't know how much more I can take of this. Everybody is fixated on the healing. If you hear and you say and you do, the byproduct of that is receiving. That just is a natural byproduct of hearing and saying and doing. It just happens. Focus on the hearing. Focus on the saying. Focus on the doing. And the other stuff will just manifest of its own accord. I didn't ask God for this building. I am so blessed. I'm so grateful. I know many of you are really grateful as well for this building. It's such a blessing. I just didn't. I guess for me personally, I am very hard on myself in a sense about wanting to be thankful. So I don't look for problems. I know for some people the heat was really, it was really hard to take in the other place. I refused to think about that. I thought about the blessing it was to have that hall. And that's what I focused on. I just did not, and I remember when David's suite came up and he gave me $300 and I said, what, he and his wife, and I said, what's that for? He goes, that's for your new building. And I looked at him and I said, we haven't got a new building. I said, we're not even thinking about a new building. And he just smiled. He said, oh, you will be. That was back in December. And a month later, I got an email from a pastor that was using this building. And he said, we're moving out into our own facility. He said, do you want to come and use it? I wasn't interested. But I thought, oh, I don't want to be rude. So I said, oh, I'll give you a call when I get back. So I called him and had a chat with him. And he said, mate, he said, it's awesome. He said, all you got to do is just walk in. Everything's there. And I was thinking, well, we pretty much do that in the old place, don't we? I thought, how much better could it be? So I remember, I talked to Phil and I said, look, I don't feel like going to see this place. I said, but I've given my word that I'm going to go see it. I said, do you want to just come with me? I said, let's just get this over with. I said, but I can't see us getting any new place. I think the hall's really good and I'm really happy there. I said, and actually I said to Phil, I said, unless it is a move of God, I said, there is no way we're going to move. So we came here, and when we looked at it, Phil and I looked at each other at the end of it, we thought, we'd be stupid if we didn't move here. Like, it's got like over and above, like literally. I mean, we would have 4 vehicles worth of stuff that we would have to carry every week and then pack up and take. But we did that with a grateful heart. And we just thought we could just walk in here and just plug in the instruments and it's ready to go. So what a blessing, hey? But the point that I'm making is it just happened. It just happened. I didn't have to say, God, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing. Please, let it happen now, let it happen now. I wasn't even thinking about it, but I'm so grateful. The byproduct of saying, of hearing, of saying and doing is receiving. When you hear what God has to say about your situation, when you start saying what God says about your situation, you start acting like it's true, the byproduct is you will receive the answer. You'll receive the promise. Hey, it just comes to pass. It just automatically happens, hey. And that's what happened with this woman, hey. She heard, she said, and she did, and she received, hey. So let me just round up. I just want to just make a couple of final comments, and then I want to minister to some people. I want you to notice in the story that Jesus, he felt power go out of him. It said there in verse 30, it says, "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, he turned around in the crowd and he said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me?' And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" So Jesus, he felt power go out of him. Is that right? And it stopped him. And he said, "Someone touch me." And the disciples go, "Yeah, right. Everyone's touching you. You are like the celebrity. It's just like packed." And he goes, no, "Someone touch me." And they're going, "Yeah, everyone's touching you." And he goes, "No, I felt power go out. Someone touch me." And he refused to go. This woman is hoping she can just continue to be like ninja and just get away. And now she's realizing she's been detected. He's used his super Holy Ghost X-ray vision and he knows something. And she's thinking, "Oh no, I'm not even meant to be in public." You know, it was illegal for a woman in that situation to be in public. They were unclean. They had to separate themselves from society. And she's thinking like, "I'm gone. I'm done." Like, and she's just like staying in the crowd because there's just a crowd. She's thinking, "Oh, he won't see me." And he's just staying there. He's going, "Someone touched me. Someone touched me." It reminds me of a situation. Hey, I got invited to speak at a Bible college to teach them about the gifts of the Spirit. And so I was teaching them about the gifts of the Spirit and I taught them about the word of knowledge and I said, "I'm going to show you the word of knowledge." And so I asked the Lord for a word of knowledge and he gave me a word of knowledge, but it was quite a sensitive issue. It was kind of, and I was just kind of new to it, but anyway, I kind of set it out. I said, "Somebody's got this situation going on in their life." And there was only like 7 people there. So it wasn't like a huge class or anything. And like no one moved. And like, you know, when you're in a situation like that, you're thinking like, "Oh, maybe I got it wrong." But I knew I'd heard from God. And I said, "No, someone's got it." And what Jesus is doing reminded me very much of that situation because I just refused to move. I said, "Someone's got it. Someone's got this situation." And then one lady said, "Oh, well, I've got this kind of situation." It was kind of similar. And I said, "No, it's not you." I said, "But come out." I said, "We'll pray for that." I said, "But someone has got this situation." I realize I probably should have couched it a little better because it was quite a sensitive issue. Anyway, finally this guy came out because he knew he was, you know. But boy, did it something for the rest of the students. They thought like, "Wow, this is awesome." And Jesus sensed someone had touched him and he refused to move. And this woman, she's thinking like, "I'm caught, I'm done." And she came out and she said, "It was me." And she told him what had happened. And I want you to notice what he said. He said, "Daughter, go." He said, "Go in peace." Where is it? "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Your faith. I thought it was his power. He felt power go out of him. Why didn't he say, "Daughter, my power made you well"? That would have been true. That would have been completely true. He could have said, "Daughter, my power made you well. Go in peace." But he didn't. He said, "Your faith made you well." I want to bring this question up to bring your attention to it. Why didn't he say, "Daughter, because I'm the Messiah, you've been healed"? That's true, isn't it? He was the Messiah. And she believed that. She believed he was anointed. That's what Messiah means, the anointed one. And she believed he's anointed, and if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can receive some of that and get healed. Why didn't he say, "Daughter, because I'm the Messiah, you've been healed"? He would have been completely correct in saying. Because he was the Messiah all the time, and the power to heal was on him all the time. And the reason why he didn't bring attention to that is because there was one person in that multitude who had faith. Everybody else saw him as Messiah and they saw him with power, but they didn't have faith. She had faith and she said, yes, he's the Messiah and yes, he's filled with power. And by God, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. And he felt the power flow and he said, that's your faith. And if everybody else had that, they would receive something too. When you speak in line with the word of God, your faith is released and power is released to bring to pass and change your circumstance in your situation. Do I hear an amen?
This message is distributed free of charge by the friends and partners of Transformers Christian Church. If you'd like to partner with us and help send this to others free of charge, then email info@transformers.org.au. Have a great day.